Did you know that your faith in Christ Jesus can grow? Faith in Jesus Christ will grow when we have answers to prayer. It's just as simple as that. Now, there are various ways in which you come to faith. You weren't born with it. You acquire faith. And faith always cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And faith was brought to you so that you came to believe. And you came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, even to the point of trusting in Him as your Savior, and you actually knew that you belonged to Him, and you counted yourself as one of those who was being saved by the grace of God. But after you have believed in Him, your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ can grow as you have answers to prayer. I think oftentimes many of us are more or less held back because we pray so little. I think that many of us would have a feeling you should only pray when you're in a desperate emergency. Now, it's a wonderful thing that you can pray when you're in a desperate emergency, but it is even a more astonishing thing and a very heartening thing that you can pray to the Lord Jesus Christ anytime, every time, all the time, as you live. And your faith in Jesus Christ will grow as you have answers to prayer. Now, all of this is seen in the fourth chapter of John. We're just coming to the end of the fourth chapter of John. If you have your Bibles with you, and we'll open them to turn to look in the fourth chapter of John, from verse 43 on to the end of the chapter, we're going to be noticing things that have to do with how faith increased, and I'll draw your attention to it. But while you are opening the Bible, let me go on and again explain to you or point out to you what you see here in this instance will be brought out, how faith begins and how faith grows. Actually, as I have just said, faith is not innate. You were not born with faith. You may have been born with a disposition to believe and with a capacity to believe, but if you hadn't been told about the gospel, you couldn't believe it. You've got to be told. You've got to hear it, or else you can't believe it. It's not a natural thing to believe. It's a natural thing for you to try and do the best you can. It's a natural thing for you to work out everything you can, do the best you can. If you're real successful, you'll get proud, and if you're really unsuccessful, you'll get discouraged. You'll either be proud because you win, or you'll be discouraged because you lose. In both cases, you'll be wrong. Because actually, your life is in the hands of God. And this comes to you as you are taught this in the Scriptures. But it's not a natural thing. It's a spiritual thing. And by the way, this matter of having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is not our own idea. You don't make that up. That's something Almighty God calls you to believe. And He does it by promising you certain things. He shows you certain things and promises you certain things and calls on you to believe the things that He has promised. That's the way in which it goes. Now, in this Gospel of John, in the fourth chapter, we have already, as far as we've gone up to the first 42 verses, we've seen at least three stages or more in the matter of believing in this record. I would draw your attention first to the woman at the well. You remember how she came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? It was because He showed her all things that ever He had done, that ever she had done. And what does that mean? He opened up her conscience, that she felt she was open in the presence of God, and God knew everything about her. Well, that's the idea, and that's the way it starts, in personal contact with Him. And by the way, some of you may very well say, well, what can I do about that now? I can't have an opportunity of meeting Him personally. Let me remind you about your Bible. You've got your Bible in your hands, and I want to tell you, you'll miss a great deal if you don't realize that when you read that Bible, you're listening to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's exactly what He would say to you. You read the Bible, you'll be hearing Him. And by the way, if you read the Bible, you'll be astonished how the Bible will open your heart, how the Bible will illumine the interior of your own being, and you'll see yourself like you never saw yourself. You'll understand yourself the way you never saw understood yourself before. And this way of showing you what you are and openly, inwardly, I mean, opening you up so that inwardly you can see yourself as you are, will increase your faith in God and will enable you to believe that this Bible, that this Scripture actually is the very Word of God. And then we moved on from there. We found that when this woman had been so affected, she went into the village and told the people. And then we read that the Samaritans believed as a result of her testimony. This is another way in which you come to faith. Other people tell you about it. People will tell you that they turned to the Lord and he blessed them. It will be a case of them saying, "This poor man cried, the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles." Well, that kind of testimony, when it is given, strengthens your faith. When you hear about believers who believed in the Lord, you yourself are encouraged to believe in the Lord. Then the next phase that we came upon, again, was with the Samaritans, that after they had heard what the woman said and believed in him, and they asked him to come and stay with them, and he stayed with them 2 days, they heard him personally. And now they believe because they were hearing him again personally. And this is again a way of increasing and of growing in faith. But now we see a fourth way. And this is set out before us in the latter part here of this chapter, in chapter 4. Especially from verses 45 to 54. And when you're reading in there, it's the story of the nobleman and his son. You will find that faith is grounded on answers to prayer. So let us look at this passage. We'll begin by looking at verse 43. Now you're in chapter 4, the Gospel of John, chapter 4, and look at verse 43, and there you will read, "Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee," that is, he went from Samaria on up into Galilee, that's where he started out to go, "for Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country." I've studied a good deal in my own thinking to try and find out why that verse was put in there, and it would look to me as though the Lord Jesus wanted to escape public attention. And if he had stayed in Jerusalem, they'd have made a great deal of him. If he stayed in Samaria, they'd made a great deal of him. And strange as it may seem to you, he knew the best place to go where he'd be ignored. You know where it was? Back home. He'd go right back home there among his own people, and they wouldn't pay attention to him. That's exactly what I think is involved here, because he was seeking to escape the being pushed out into the public. He himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. In other words, they're not going to make any big to-do over a man that they knew. But in verse 45, when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went to the feast. So you see, the Galileans had been down there at the public celebration in the city of Jerusalem, and they had seen the miracles that he worked, they had seen the things that he had done, they had gone back home and told the folks, so that when he came there, there were a company of people there to listen. Verse 46, we read, "Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine." You remember that in the second chapter? Well, here you have it. You have this incident where he come back to the city of Capernaum. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And, he came into the city of Cana of Galilee, which is not far from Capernaum. And this nobleman, they came over there to see him. And this man came. He heard the Lord was there, and it says he came when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee. He went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. And if you recognize it right away, that's prayer. He came to the Lord Jesus to pray for his son. He came to the Lord Jesus because his son was sick, and he besought him that he would come down and heal his son. Now in verse 48, you'll see something that happens over and over again with the Lord. When the Lord rather tests the person who comes to pray and ask him. And here he tested him in this way. "Except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." As much as if to say, the only reason you want me to come down and do this thing is that you'll see some big thing happen. As if you were just want to see some special excitement of some sort. I wouldn't say in our American way that he accused him of just coming and asking for answers to prayer just for the thrills, just for what it would do to him if it would happen this way. But this kind of testing that would have turned away a superficial person or a shallow person, notice what happened in verse 49. "The nobleman said unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die." The word "sir" would indicate respect. He spoke to him very respectfully, and he just pressed out from the bottom of his heart his pathetic plea. As much as saying, "Listen, I need help. Come down ere my child die. That's what I want. I want you to do something for him. Verse 50, he got an amazing response. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. Just like that. Immediately. That is the way it was answered. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Now notice what follows after that. As he was now going down, that's going down to his own home, going from Cana of Galilee back to Capernaum, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. When did he start getting better? And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus had said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed in his whole house. Now that's the reason I think why that story is in here. That's what you and I are to learn. Himself believed in his whole house. And you could say to me, well, didn't the nobleman believe? Certainly he believed. He came all the way over there to pray to him. Didn't he believe? Why, certainly he besought him that he would come down and help his son. And didn't the nobleman believe? Well, certainly when the Lord Jesus said, You're only asking me for to get the excitement of it, he said, No, come and help my son. But now he got an answer to prayer. And when he got an answer to prayer, he had more faith than he ever had before. That's what I wanted to talk to you about. You and I can have our faith actually grow as we have answers to prayer. By the way, you need to have a certain amount of faith to pray. But when you get the answer to prayer, you'll have more faith than you ever had before. And our Christian experience is one of going up and up, growing in grace and in knowledge. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us as we think on these things, as we study Thy Word, as we look into these things, to learn Thy ways, and then do Thou deal with each one of us that draws nearer to Thee. And if there are any of us who have special needs of prayer, encourage us to pray, that we may get the answers to prayer that will strengthen our faith. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.